So welcome back, everyone, to the Curse of Strahd. This is our second of the Magic Missile campaigns. I'm your Dungeon Master, Mike, and we're going to just jump right in. Last session, our party started towards the Mad Mage of Mount Baratok. They learned of the Mad Mage from Van Richten, a man who likes to sit in lawn chairs and kind of correct the course of our party. He met with the party as they were meeting back up, and we had a new character introduced. His name is Vic, and he is a necromancer. The party decides to move forward, and they climb the mountain. As they climb towards the peak, they have to make it past a lightning storm. There was a few lightning strikes that were taken, but Gaius, for the most part, helped his team across the little domain that was being held out. As they make it into this cave and they start walking in, they freeze. They're not able to move. Time has stopped. A man with long hair, looking scraggly, approaches them, completely frozen, analyzes them. And as he's looking very close at Vic, he sneezes. From that sneeze, our party winds up in this kind of alternate, like, demiplane of sorts. They find themselves looking at this, like, grand house of sorts with these lights, kind of these, like, small light globes kind of bobbling above the ground, maybe about 5 feet up. There's a portal in front of them, and the party decides to take it. As you guys enter this room, it is impossible not to notice the chains of bright blue arcane energy, this lightning field that takes up half of the room. Along the southern wall, not even the southern wall, sorry, just kind of like right in the middle of this room. I mean, you guys can see it on the map here. There are these four color tiles, black, white, pink, and blue. There are four robes that are kind of around, just kind of laying amongst the floor. On a roll of paper that's just hanging on this back wall right here, you see written Apprentice White, Apprentice Blue, Apprentice Black, and Apprentice Pink are talking in the courtyard after their naming ceremony. Each is wearing a different colored robe. Apprentice Pink says, "I can't believe the Archmage named us after the color of our robes, yet nobody got the name that matched their robe. I hate my name. We should not concern ourselves with such trivialities, is that a word, as our names," says the apprentice in the blue robe. "Easy for you to say," replies the apprentice Pink. "If I had worn a black robe today, I might have got a better name." "If it helps, I don't like my name either," says Apprentice Black.
All right, so Apprentice Pink is not in blue, and he's not in black, and he's not in pink. So he's in white.
He's in white.
I stand on the white tile.
I grab the pink robe off of the hanger and hand it to Vic.
I'm sorry, I did not hear that part.
So just to confirm, Vic, you've got the pink robe, and you're standing on the white tile?
Is that what you handed me, Zev?
Oh,
might be the other way around.
Yeah, I before I hand it over, I go grab the white robe instead, and hand that to Vic, but tell him to go stand on the pink tile.
Okay. Yeah, I'll follow.
All right, you stand there. Nothing seems to happen. Also, Vic, I'm going to assume you put the robe on because you have to.
Yeah.
but I'm going to say nothing happened.
So black can be in blue and pink, blue or pink.
I bet. It
can be in pink or black.
I think blue is in black.
Why is that?
Because there's nothing that rules it out, and the last sentence makes it sound like he's responding to the apprentice Pink. "If I'd worn my black robe today, I'd have gotten a better name. If it helps, I don't like my name either," says Apprentice Black. And it says that none of them are. Like, they just mentioned wearing the black robe, and it's Apprentice Black, who is clearly not in a black robe, but doesn't like the pink robe, so I think he's in blue.
Why couldn't he be in the pink robe?
I think that it gives evidence to him actually being in the pink robe, if anything.
You think
if
so?
He doesn't like pink. He's saying, "I don't like my name."
Black? Fine. I'm out of here.
So,
Apprentice Black.
Oh, I bet blue apprentice in blue robe is in
Apprentice Black. I think the apprentice in
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Josh.
Oh, no, I was just saying, it says there's Apprentice Black, but it doesn't say Apprentice Blue. It says the apprentice in the blue robe in response to the guy mentioning the thing about the black robe.
Right. So you have the apprentice's names are Apprentice Black and so on and so forth. And then you have the colored robes.
Mm-hmm. So black can be in blue or pink. Blue can be in pink or black. And white can be in pink, blue, or black.
I would guess that blue is in the black robe.
Attaboy.
No, never mind. I'm misreading it.
I'll give you guys one more minute before I give you a hint here.
So I feel like I'm in the right spot.
Yeah, I think
definitely wanted white.
Yeah, I think that's
so right. Black did not like her name either. So where should black go?
It'd be blue or pink. If they don't like their name.
Well, the black robe should go. Should the black robe go to the white spot?
Why do you say?
I just don't see any reference to any other robe for the black. Like, should the black apprentice... Well, no. I'm now confusing myself, so never mind.
I think there's going to be some guessing, because I don't think there's enough information in the actual puzzle to, like...
So, a hint for you guys is nobody is wearing the same color robe as their name. Also, the way I figured this out was actually just kind of making a 4x4 grid. To kind of help me get there.
Yeah, because I'm looking at it. So I've got...
It's just a little too much to keep straight in your head.
If black was in... I've got it all... Yeah, I've got... Yeah, I did kind of a similar... But if black is in blue, then white could be in pink or black. It would have to be in black, and that means blue would have to be in pink. So if black's in blue would have to be in... pink. No, wait, I don't think that's right. If black's in pink, then blue would have to be in black. And white would have to be in blue. Black and pink, blue and black, white and blue would work as one possible solution.
So I think we can rule out that Apprentice Black is not wearing blue. Because it differentiates those. It says apprentice in blue says one thing, apprentice black says another thing. So that would mean...
Yeah, you're right. Perfect. Well, that solves it then. I think that's right, Tyler.
That would mean that...
it goes... go ahead. But I think I've got it.
Let's see if I'm putting this together right.
I think it's the one I just said. I think
yeah.
Apprentice black is in pink, apprentice blue is in black.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that was the apprentice white and blue, the only left one.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's it.
Yep.
So I go over to the blue robe and put that on and stand on the white tile.
Del grabs the pink robe and stands on the black tile.
I'll grab the last robe and stand on the last tile.
Perfect. As you guys do, I need everyone to roll a dexterity check.
Dexterity saving throw or dexterity check?
Dexterity saving throw. I'm just kidding, guys. The lightning goes away. You solved it. I'm actually pretty impressed.
I was like, let's not do that because I only have one.
You guys did great. That was way too easy for you. But the lightning dissipates and a portal opens up. This portal a little larger than the previous.
Zoop. I take off the robe. I hang it back up nicely. And I...
The lightning comes back.
No, the lightning stays gone even if you take off the robe. So you're okay.
I'm going to go through the portal.
Yep, portal.
All right.
Hell as well.
Fump, 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 fump.
Me too.
Everybody flips through the portal. And there you see another pedestal with a book on it.
I'll go read it.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Aspion, as you go up to it, you see entry 4.
So, 1 second, Mike. Steve said he was going to read it. Go ahead, Steve.
I'll wait. It says, I have lost everything. My staff is broken. My spellbook lies. I know not where. And the bright Portoru has given himself over to the devil. The vampire matched my wit and my spells. I am utterly useless to these people. My attempts to assist them only brought about more misery. Am I now trapped in this land? The shadow of my failure is etched upon their faces, and every corner Strahd's minions watch me. I shall hide in the mountains. None will find me there. And you see at the top of the stairwell, a dude hanging out, looking just like the other guy. Long brown hair, glowing hands and eyes, looking scraggly, no mouth. Everybody go ahead and let's roll initiative.
Jesus. All right, well, let's get that out of the way.
Even with a nat one, you're ahead of me, Vic.
Yeah, oh, I rolled a five.
Oh, good. I have still a 16, so we're good.
So recognizing that it looks very similar to the the guy we saw earlier that teleported us all in here, Zav, before he realizes that the person standing ahead of us has no mouth, starts to pull out a handkerchief to like hand it to him because he sneezed, and then sees no mouth and slowly just puts it back in his pocket. Gets ready to take on what's coming.
Vic, with your 18, you're the first to use an action.
Does he look hostile? Just like quick glance?
Yes.
Okay. If that's the case, then zombies are going to go at him. And they're going to do their thing, which I wasn't really set up for, but give me 1 second and we will be. What is AC-wise for that?
15.
Okay, so I'm going to have two zombies hitting, and then both of my archers will hit as well.
Great, okay.
So I'm going to hit with a 9 for each zombie, and then the skeletons will be hitting at 9 as well.
All right. And as is always, for whatever reason, the case in this dungeon in particular, it doesn't seem to hit quite as hard as you think it would.
That's okay. How does the toll of the dead sound? Like a bell.
That's not going to hit in this case. Perfect. Anything else we're doing on your turn here, Vic?
Nope.
Alrighty. Del, you're up.
All right. I know this is kind of tough because it sort of looks like a large creature, but Del would like to rush up to it because they are just a horde of zombies.
Del, I'll say that you're not going to be able to break through because that is like a really tight area for 8 zombies and you're a big dude. Like, you're not gonna be able to get in. Mm-hmm. You can come around this side though. There's another area, but it's not going to give you flanking advantage. It's kind of be from the side, if that makes sense.
Yep. How hard would it be to climb up this way?
Not necessarily impossible. It's probably about a 20-foot climb.
Oh, it's that. Oh, okay. No. Dale's tall, not that tall. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. I think I can get here.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Yeah, if that's 25, you can get to the stairs this turn. Do you have something with range maybe to hit?
No. But I guess I'll use the dodge action.
Okay.
To give me
give you some advantage there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it attacks.
Great.
If he attacks or it attacks or whatever.
All right. So for the Mad Mage's turn, he is going to see this horde of zombies right in front of where he is. And he is going to open his hand up and shoot. All of your zombies need to make a DC 17 saving throw. And then I would also say it's a cone. So I would say Zav, Aspion, Gaius, and your skeletons as well.
This is a con save. Okay.
That's correct. Matt, all the zombies will have a +2 from Del's saving throw ability, but no one else.
So I rolled a 21.
Zav, you're going to save. You're going to take half damage, so half of the 29.
Okay, so it's 13. Or, sorry, 14.
I know that other things happen, but there is too much going on. Gaius, I know you rolled. I saw it come up. Gaius, you're going to take full damage from that.
Uh-huh.
So I had 4 that failed.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I think that rolled way too many times. Oh, well. Okay, so what is the save on that one, I guess?
It is a DC 17.
3 zombies die, and then one of the archers dies as well.
Great. All right. Gaius, you're up.
Wait, so how much damage am I taking?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Where did you land, Aspion?
22.
You're going to take half damage, half of that 29 cold damage. 14.
I am going to cast as a reaction Absorb Elements.
Does it look like left or right would give me a better, clearer shot at him if I were to try and stand?
You've got the low ground, so it's not a fantastic option either way.
So would you consider that like half cover or three quarters cover?
Neither. I would say it's fine either way. Just know that you have the low ground. So,
all right.
He's not covered. He's at the top of a basically an open kind of plateau set of stairs.
One shot at this. I'm gonna declare him my enemy for the day.
Alrighty.
I'll just pull out the arrow with my one thumbless hand. Tonight, you just let's take a shot at that guy. Yeah, let's do it. I'm gonna use sharpshooter. So does an 18 hit?
So he's going to use shield. An 18 is not going to hit. So he's got +5 to his AC until the end of the turn.
Shield is such a bitch move.
Taking another shot.
Also not going to hit.
All right. Next one, I'm not going to use sharpshooter. I'm going to use an action point.
Hey, that's good. Yeah, that's going to hit.
11 plus 4 for the sworn enemy, so 15 total. 7 plus 11 is 18.
18.
All right. So it's 18 plus the... I'm so sorry. What was the other one? It was the 15?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. And just know that it doesn't hit quite as hard.
Yep. And then I'm going to try and get behind these skeletons over here and to the side.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good. They don't offer a lot of coverage for you, but it sounds good.
Better than nothing, right?
I don't know, man. They're skeletons. They have a lot of open holes.
It's just one skeleton. That's all it is.
I'm getting behind the skeleton. It's better than actually nothing.
All right. Perfect. Zav, you are up.
I am going to use the cover of the zombies to move towards the back of the room. Cool. Trying to get away as far as I possibly can out of more cones of cold because, ouch. And as a response to that, I'm going to concentrate for just a second and pull out some sulfur and pine tar and form it into a small bead and push on it really hard to create 6 tiny meteors that start to float around me and cast Melf's Minute Meteors. And I send 2 of them towards him. So he needs to make a dexterity saving throw. It's a DC 15. It's a
rolls
9.
A 9, so he fails.
So he takes 7 damage from the first meteor that hits him, and he can roll another. I don't know how you want to do that, if it's just one save for the 2 that I'm sending his way, or if you want to roll twice.
No, I'll allow it. It's okay.
Okay, so 11 damage total from the 2 meteors. I have 4 that continue to swirl around me. And yeah, that will be my turn.
Perfect. All right. Doesn't quite do as much damage as you thought it would, but still a very good hit. Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
All right. And you can go ahead and say it, Zav.
Yeah. So as you see these meteors pop up and start to float around me, you also see centered on myself, you see slick grease basically extend out from where I'm standing, covering about 10 feet around me. And I stand here and kind of hold my ground, But yes, I am now surrounded by grease. Details of the spell indicate that any creature standing in the center of the square or in the grease needs to make a dexterity saving throw. And based off of the saving throw I just had the Mad Mage make, that's a DC 15. So I'll roll my throw now.
A nat one. But
so to kind of paint the scene, the meteors start to pop up. And I send two out, and as I do, grease comes out from essentially around my feet. And I slip in it and just fall just hard face down into the grease as two meteors slam into the Mad Mage. And I am just now face down in a 10-foot square of grease.
Weird. Greasy, but weird.
I also realized I have magic resistance, so the Mad Mage actually does have advantage on saving throws against spells. So I'll just know that moving forward, but we're not going to change anything moving behind.
Yeah, that all is right. My turn.
That is your turn. Aspion, what are we doing?
Is there going to be anywhere in this room where he's not going to have light of sight to me?
Nah. Not in his situation. He's up on top of like this like pedestal, basically. He can see you. He can see all of you.
Okay. But no matter where he goes in the room, we'll have a line of sight.
Basically, yeah. There's some like debris and stuff, but it's not going to give you any more than quarter coverage at most.
Okay.
Steve, you're up. What's your turn?
Okay. Is there room up here behind the Mad Mage?
I'll say, yeah, there's probably room for you to squeeze into. Keep in mind, if you're going up this way, you have to climb, or you can go up this way and be in the same space as Dell. That's no big deal. How many zombies are left, Maddie? Because depending on
how many they are. Four zombies left, and then one skeleton.
I'll say it's still a little too clustered with the zombies if there's four there kind of huddling around the dude. You can get up behind the zombies, but you can't really get past them right now is what I would say.
Okay. If I were to misty step past them, I get advantage.
If you were doing like a melee attack, I'll give you advantage.
You get that extra amped up damage on a melee attack too, so it might be worth doing.
Like you're not going to get flanking advantage if you're like casting a spell, though. You also know that he just used shield. I'm going to help you out a little there.
Okay.
Like he's got really like almost like impenetrable armor. Not completely. Like guy's got two hits on him, but he's tough to hit right now.
Yeah, I mean, fuck it. I've got nothing else to do. I'm going to misty step behind him, and then I'm going to use an unarmed strike at him from behind.
You don't have, like, a quarterstaff or anything? If you don't, you don't. I just didn't know.
Oh, I probably do. I have a quarterstaff.
Smack him with it. Okay, so you get advantage, but you did roll a nat 1. It's about right for Aspion's luck.
Oh,
one
my god,
that is amazing. So you're not gonna hit. It didn't matter anyway. He had shield. You probably wouldn't have hit. It would have had to have been a really good roll. But
oh my god,
it would have needed to have been a crit.
Outstanding.
Right?
Goodness,
I feel like I deserve something, like some divine punishment.
What else would you like to do on your turn, Aspion?
Literally nothing.
All right, Vic, you're up. Let's end Aspion's misery here.
Send it. All right, so we have two nat 20s.
Oh, nice.
And an 18. So the nat 20s, would they hit, Mike? They would be 23s.
All three of them would hit, yeah.
12 from the skeleton, and then a 8 from a zombie, and that's it. And then for me, I am going to do a Toll of the Dead.
Let me give you that saving throw here. Oh, I rolled a nat 1. Oh, wait, I get advantage on saving throws. I'm so sorry. I rolled a 23.
23?
Sorry.
Okay, no worries.
Yeah, sorry.
And then I'm...
sorry.
I forgot I just said that. Like, I get advantage on...
Okay, and that's where I'm moving myself up a little bit, so I'm off to his flank, and then my archer is also moving up to his flank over there as well. So, hopefully out of the range.
Yeah, we'll see. Del, you're up.
All right. Dell is going to try and... So is how close is the Mad Mage to the edge? Would you say he's 5 feet from the edge?
I feel like I see what you're going for. I would say Aspion's also there, and just know that if you try to push him off, you will push Aspion off, but I'll allow it, and I'll let Aspion make a save for it, the same as the Mad Mage.
What if Dell went here and he pushed him down diagonally?
I'll say you're going to at least hit a zombie.
Great. Then that's what Dell will try to do. I guess I'll use, I think it's an athletics check for me versus he can do athletics or acrobatics against me, I think.
I rolled a 19.
All right. Dell's going to do it again.
Okay.
This is bullshit.
My God. It was a net one. It was a net one, everybody. I'm going to roll.
I'm rubbing off on you, Tom. I'm sorry.
This is nonsense.
Aspion's look is horrific, and that's hilarious to me. Anything else we're doing, Dell?
No.
Okay. It's so sad. Okay. All right. So the message is up. It is his turn. I can't help it. He sees Zav fall on Grease, and he must shoot a fireball at him. He gets the urge like he's never had the urge before.
Is the grease flammable?
I believe so.
Fireball.
I think fireball. Grease is just a, like, it trips you. I don't think it's actually, like, it is a flammable substance.
It says like the fire spreads around corners. It ignites flammable objects in the area. And I would consider grease flammable. I would say you're not going to take extra damage for it, but as long as you're in the grease and in the fire, you're going to take extra damage every turn. Does that make sense?
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say you got burned.
Also, I'm prone and it's going to it'll be tough to get out.
I don't even know if you can make a roll against. Do you get a dex roll if you're prone? It's a DC 17. The people all need to make it are.
I rolled a nat one.
Vic, you're going to make it. I'll say the zombies because they're probably more towards up here with them being four. I'll say the zombies are okay. I'll say the skeletons and Gaius need to make it as well.
I made it.
So Vic's fine?
No, Vic needs to make it.
You see Zav in the middle of the grease. As soon as the fireball hits, instead of like seeing him try to push himself up, you just see him not move. Zav is down.
You're going to save, but you're going to take half damage.
Yep.
I'm going to use Tides of Chaos to re-roll my saving throw.
Okay, go for it.
Even still, same result. I rolled a nat 1 the first time and a 14 the second time for a DC 17. Both of them, I end up...
It's a high DC. It's a high DC.
I have 4 hit points. Or 5 hit points.
Hanging on by a thread, my man. All right. Cool. Let's go ahead. Gaius, you're up. Still your sworn enemy, looking pretty bloodied. What are we doing here?
This guy. Is shield gone?
Shield is gone. Shield is gone.
Taking another, it didn't affect what I was going to do next. Don't know why I was going to, why I asked. I'm shooting him.
He's going to use shield again.
Yeah, I'm not going to use sharpshooter.
Okay. It's just another reaction, like on his turn, basically. 28 will hit.
So 17.
17.
Okay. And then you know what? Next one. I will use sharpshooter.
Okay. That's not going to hit.
Dang. All right. Then nothing. So 17.
Okay.
But none of those would have hit either way. So
yeah, you're right.
I don't feel so bad.
All righty. Anything else we're doing here, Gaius?
Is there anything I can get behind? No, nothing.
Nah. he's looking pretty hurt. I want to make that very clear to everybody. He's looking pretty messed up. All right. So Zav is down. Zav, do you want to go ahead and make a saving throw?
You got it.
Oh, it's a fail. Okay. One down for Zav. Aspion, you're in the prime position. He's used shield again. So magic missile won't work. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Will any spells work?
Here's what I would say. As a spellcaster, you know that you have to sometimes make a decision. You can either use shield or counterspell, and he used shield. Do what you will with that information.
Okay, I guess Scorching Ray.
Cast him. 10 is going to miss.
Nope. How about a nat 20?
There you go. There you go. Attaboy. So what is that? 5 plus 8 plus 3. Great.
So 16.
Mm-hmm.
I got two more. 18.
18 is not going to hit. Nope. He's got 20 AC. Well, you know you're rolling with advantage here, bud.
And
oh,
so one's going to hit. You still so roll again for your second.
Only okay,
so the second's going to miss, and then roll again for your third. I see. I've confused you.
Yeah, I actually have four though.
Roll two more times. So roll four more.
You're going to crit again. That's what I'm saying.
The third one is going to hit.
Okay.
Two nats.
And then roll two more times for the fourth one.
Another
holy Christ! You only crit, or you? It's like it's up and down for you,
wow,
man.
Wow, dude!
What?
Okay, amazing. Ask good for you,
coming
man.
In with a three critical scorching.
That up for me because that should be flat damage.
So 19 for the fourth crit. 11
for the fourth crit sounds so 14 good.
14 for the third. 13, 16 for the second. Where's that first crit? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess that was only three crits.
Only three of the four hit. Three.
Yeah.
I'm okay, sorry. Only three of the four hit. That's all good.
16.
So 49 damage. 49 burn damage.
Blow his ass up.
Aspion, how do you want to do this?
I don't fucking care. Oh, I want him to melt to the ground.
Aspion just with these huge fiery explosions, and he kind of just knocks him off balance. And then just seeing what Dell was trying to do, Aspion goes and blows him off the side, and he falls 20 feet and poofs away.
With that, because I know we're time sensitive, I'd like to Misty step over to Zav and pour a potion down his throat. And
unfortunately, Vic, I'm going to say there's not even time. And what's going to happen is you guys are immediately out of this area. You're back in that cave. Vic, you have snot all over your face.
Yeah, I do.
Gross. There is a man standing in front of you, kind of brushing himself off. Zav, you're back to being healthy. You feel fine again. Oh, or as fine as you did is when you came up from the lightning.
This guy is
the same way. Nope. Everybody who took damage while in this little dungeon is basically healed from it. You're kind of reverting back to your previous state.
Question.
I'm not going to lie. I did not expect Aspion's turn to be the last turn there. I was like, all right, we're going to see if Del can do something after he misses these scorching rays, because that's just what happens.
Do the zombies come back?
Yes, all the zombies that were lost come back. You might have lost a little life on them. I can't remember if you did while they were in the lightning.
I'll go back to,
other than that, they're back. You got two skeletons again as well.
What about spell slots?
Spell slots are back.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
What about my sworn enemy for the day?
I'll say that's gone. Damn. Your day is going to end fairly shortly anyway. It doesn't matter. But
tight.
Cool. The man speaks up and says, I am indebted to you, travelers. This is embarrassing, to say the least. I appreciate what you've done for me. And then he starts to tear up, actually. He says, I'm not supposed to be this person. And then he hits himself in the head incredibly hard. He's continuing to tear up.
Who are you?
He looks at you and he says, you don't get to talk to me. But my name is Mordekainen.
Well, it's a very... it's an honor and a pleasure to finally... Wow, I'm actually speechless. to meet you.
He says, well, I'm in your debt, small one. Vic, you've helped me out a great deal. Thank you so much.
He says, I apologize. I am not familiar with the name.
Of course, you wouldn't know me. I have some prestige within Faerun. I know that is not where you're from. Think of me as a renowned mage from where I'm from.
And as Vic said, it is an honor.
Thank you.
Why are you still here?
To suffer.
That's funny. Like you, I am trapped.
Surely a renowned mage would have a portal spell of some sort to move between planes.
Surely a paladin wouldn't have killed his friends.
I've never killed one of my friends.
No, not directly, Del. Not directly. You would never do that directly. Are you working with him? Just be honest. I've learned what I can from your mind, but be honest with me.
Quite defensive about this portal spell.
Quite defensive about your friends.
No.
Why is Ajira gone?
To save a woman's life.
How did he go?
I traded his life for the woman's.
There it is. You traded the life of your companions because you thought that saving this random woman who you had met how long ago was the right choice.
I had pledged to protect her, yes.
And you didn't pledge that for Irina?
I didn't give him Irina. She went of her own volition.
Clearly a fool.
Perhaps.
Clearly a fool.
But I'm not the mage without a portal spell.
And I'm not a paladin without the light.
At this, Del walks up to him and grabs him by the front of his robes.
Think
that's all you have? Smart remarks.
Del, this is not the type of wizard you want to be trifling with.
Del drops him.
Unfortunately, portal spell won't work here. I made that decision. I made that sacrifice when I came in. I came in through a portal spell. I cannot leave through a portal spell.
Mordekaiser?
The Great Wizard.
Have I heard of that name?
You
can call me Mord. Mord, it's fine.
Mord. Being in Waterdeep, would I have heard of that?
Yeah.
This is kind of like Zeus in our land. Kind of like in our time right now. It's like Zeus or Apollo.
Yeah, he's pretty famous.
I hear he has a pretty good Tome of Foes.
That's right. A couple books named after him.
Will you help us defeat Strahd?
Of course. Will you stand with me? Side by side with me, guys?
I will.
He extends his hand to shake yours.
I'm going to stick out the hand that I shoot my bow with, the one that doesn't have a thumb. I'm going to reach that out.
He grabs it firmly. And holds his hand over yours and then does a little bow.
Doing the bow, wincing with pain, but
Zav still seems very shaken from almost dying in what felt very real.
Yes. I know you have questions about that, Zav. In my despair, I fled. I ran away. I was a coward. I had lost to someone who I thought was insignificant. I came here to hide. My mind was shattered from the fight, and I tried to cast a spell that I thought I could. Mordekainen's Mansion, and it fragmented my mind more. I apologize that you wound up there, but I am in your debt for piecing my mind back together, even if just a little. And he hits himself really hard on the head again.
As he goes to reach to hit himself in the head, I mage hand and try and stop his hand from hitting himself.
Yeah, I'll say that. I mean, mage hand isn't strong by any means, but that's just a nice gesture. So I'll say that you were able to stop his hand before he hit himself. And he looks at his hand and he just looks ashamed of it. And he just slowly puts it down.
I've been through a lot recently, and my mind has been close to breaking, close to not nearly the extent that it sounds like you've gone through, but I've definitely not had an easy go of it recently. And blaming yourself, taking it out on yourself, it doesn't help anyone. It doesn't do anything, but makes the situation worse for yourself.
Zav, I don't know how you ended up here. The odds of that are astronomical. But I want you to know that Jeremy talked about you frequently. He was a close friend of mine and a companion. And
hearing that, Aspion just kind of shuffles his eyes towards the ground.
Aspion, you did what you thought was right. I've read your minds. I know. And I'm sorry for your loss.
At the mention of Jeremy, Zav looks down. A silent tear falls down his cheek, and he nods. It's good to know that the Jeremy that you knew sounds like the Jeremy that I left.
He was.
By the time I came across him, he didn't seem himself. He was... Yeah.
This land has a way of breaking people. Myself, not excluded. Well, since the endless storm of Mount Baratok has ended, how about we get out of here before Strahd ascends upon the mountain?
I'd like
Where that. Will we go?
To Yesterhill. I think that is our next stop.
What's there?
Cleansing this mountain. You said you'd fight with me, Gaius. Right beside me. You stay true to your word?
Of course.
Of course.
But please know, Del is on our side. Whatever he did, he thought it's what we had to do for the whole party's survival. We're at war. We've all had to make some difficult decisions.
Yes. We have.
As you all have told me, we don't need to like each other. But we do need to finish this.
He says we're not going to do a chant or a team cry or anything. I just want to let you know that that's not going to happen.
Zombies are in a circle with their hands in, like, aww.
It's not like a team nickname.
When you say Strahd is going to descend upon this mountain, why now?
The storm has stopped. I'm no longer concentrating on that. As soon as you entered my mind, I stopped. It'll be no time at all until the undead are coming up this mountain after us.
The sooner we get going, the better.
I think so.
Lead the way.
He walks a little deeper into the cave that actually is a fairly intricate system of tunnels and says, "Del, would you like to make yourself useful?" And he kind of points to a large sled and wants you to pull it out.
Del does that.
Great. Del, you pull this sled out, and you see him turn into an elk. He stands in front of the sleigh that has a few harnesses and gestures to basically hook him up.
I tell him, "You don't need to do that."
Del hooks him up.
We can take care of that. You don't need to pull us.
What are you?
Come ride with us
mind?
And help heal yourself. And you see my zombies take the place of where he was going to stand.
Your zombies are slower than us.
Yeah, he definitely bucks a little at the zombies, not trying to hurt them or anything, but nudging them away. He deduces that he's much faster than the zombies and won't let them, you know, do it. He's like, he's to get in the back.
Del cool. gets in the back.
Yeah, if everybody gets in.
Guys will sit right next to Del.
Yep.
Cool. He takes off down the mountain. He's barreling down. You know, the sled is bumping left and right, but he is just whoosh, right down the mountain. You actually are passing undead and ravens and all sorts of creatures on the way, but, you know, you're moving too fast. None of them are right next to you, so they can't really get to you. You know, there's a few arrows that get shot off, but none of them are even remotely close. As you guys descend further down, it becomes less and less dense, and you basically get to the point where you're almost in a forest clearing back in the woods. And I think that is probably a great place to end our session tonight.